Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Happy Feast of the Cross. Today is the second day of the great Feast of the Cross. And also today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Tut. And the message for this entire month has been the love of God the Father for mankind, for all types of people. The first Sunday of Tut, we heard about John the Baptist being the friend of the bridegroom. And then what it takes to be a friend of the bridegroom, the friend of Christ. The second Sunday, the church talked about the idea of true love and true sacrifice. We can say that we love God, but what does God expect of us to truly say that we love Him? And the third Sunday, which is today, is supposed to be Zacchaeus. Christ is a friend of the tax collectors, the people who are despised by everyone. And then the fourth Sunday, God willing, next Sunday, it's going to be about the love of Christ for the worst people in society, like the sinful woman. So when you put all these together, the message of the month is God loves everyone despite their status, despite their condition. But because today is the second day of the Feast of the Cross, the readings were swapped. So then we had the readings that had to go with the Feast of the Cross and Christ talking about people drawn to Him through the Father, completing the reading from yesterday about when He will be lifted up, He will draw everybody toward Himself. So I would like to talk for just a few minutes about the Feast of the Cross and about the cross in our lives. How many Feasts of the Cross do we have in the Orthodox Church? Two. The major one, which is this one, okay? And we're celebrating what in this feast? What's the occasion? The discovery of the cross by Queen Helen. That was in the year 326 AD, 1 year after the Council of Nicaea. She was 70-year-old, and she wanted to go all the way from Nicaea to Jerusalem to find that cross, okay? And then we celebrate this on this occasion. And there's a second feast for the cross we celebrate when? Usually during Lent. It always comes in Lent because it's in March. Okay? And then what we're celebrating then? When the cross was stolen by the Persians in 627 AD, Emperor Heracles was able to return it soon after. And we celebrate the restoration of the cross back to the Church of the Resurrection. So these are the two feasts of the cross. So we cannot really overlook the importance of the cross in the Orthodox Church. Think about it for a second. All the Orthodox churches have a cross over them, right? They're decorated by a cross over them. You walk into the church, you have the iconostasis, and then above the iconostasis, what do we have? The crucifix. You look at the priests and the bishops, what do they have in their hands? A cross. You look at their garments, they have crosses all over them. And these were not just for decoration, they look nice, so we're going to put them on our clothes in our churches. This is for very strong doctrinal and meaningful, faithful things in our personal life as Orthodox. It's benediction, it's a blessing, it's a power in that sign, and it's a blessing. It's a benediction, blessing, power, and protection, I'm sorry. So benediction, by having that sign of the cross, blessing. There's a power in that sign of the cross over temptations, everything we deal with every day. And there's a protection from the snares of the evil one that are set against us. Even many Orthodox, we wear crosses around our necks. And even our probably fathers and grandfathers had crosses on their hands when they were growing up in Egypt. So it's very important to understand that the cross is a very important message, so to speak, in the life of any Orthodox person. Even the sacraments, believe it or not, all the sacraments of the church, the cross has to be part of it. In the sacrament of baptism, it's a sign of the cross that does the anointing. The water of baptism is blessed by the sign of the cross on them. And even during the Eucharist, during the liturgy, when the bread and the wine are converted to the body and blood of Christ, it's by the sign of the cross. The priest says, and this bread He makes into His holy body. And then he looks at the wine and says, and this cup He makes into the precious blood of His new covenant by the sign of the cross. So I have a question for you. Why do we love the cross so much? Think about this for a second with me. If we love Christ so much, which we do, at least we try to, And if a tool was used to execute the person that we love so much, why do we like that science? Actually, we're supposed to hate it, right? If you love somebody so much and they're killed by a certain weapon, well, every time you see that weapon, you can say, I don't want to look at it. It reminds me of what happened to my beloved, so I'm not going to think about it. So why are we crazy about the cross? Because we don't think of the cross as a tool used to execute Christ. The church never thought of it that way. We think of the cross as a weapon that Christ used to destroy death. So we think of the cross as a weapon of victory over death and for our eternal salvation. We also think of the cross as a throne. We call it the throne of the king. The Lord has reigned on a wood, the wood of the cross. That's why St. Paul said that the word of the cross is a folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God, in 1 Corinthians 1:18. And that's exactly what we sang this morning in the doxologies. If the deacons remember, early on in Matins, we said, we too, the children of the Orthodox, bow down to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we don't mean bound down to the wood of the cross. We're bound down to the power of the cross through Christ. And then they said, we carry you across the strength of the Christians powerfully around our necks. And we carry you openly, hail to you across the weapon of victory and the throne of the king. The weapon of victory and the throne of the king. The second question I have for you, and that's really the last thing we're going to talk about, is why do the devils and those who follow the devils hate the cross so much? Why? Have you ever, just to get a perspective, if you haven't, you can look it up today. Watch any church being attacked by non-believers. And, I mean, YouTube has so many videos. There's no shortage of videos and churches being attacked. And look at the amount of rage that people have against the cross. Like a grown man has a piece of wood and he's like beating it to the ground and stepping on it and he's mad about it. A piece of wood, like who cares? So why do people hate the cross so much or out of the faith? Did you ever think about that? You guys didn't think that? Non-believers? Okay. So watch some videos about the churches being attacked and then you're going to see the amount of rage that non-believers have against the cross. Assuming that you did and they do, in order to understand why Satan and his followers hate the cross so much, okay? If you have worked on something, let's say you were baking a cake and that cake took you 6 hours to do and you did everything you could to do it right. And then you had your one of your friends over and then he tipped that cake over in, let's say, in the trash and it fell. Would you be happy or not happy about it? You worked 6 hours. So 6 hours were wasted, right? So you're going to be bothered by this incident. So Satan has been working to destroy humanity for 7,000 years at the time of Christ, 5,000 years. Relentlessly, he did everything he could to have the entire world in his grasp. He did everything he could, day and night, to destroy human race and take him away from God. And in one day and in 1 hour, all this hard work was what was wasted. So does he have the right to hit the cross or not? He does. He's supposed to hit the cross because all his hard work was ruined in that 1 hour in which Christ died on the cross. The cross is our weapon of victory. St. John Chrysostom said this, Christ is hung upon the cross and the devil has become a corpse. Christ has been stretched on the cross and a standard of salvation was extended to everyone. Christ has been nailed to the cross and every soul has been released from the bondage of sin. There's a beautiful article called The Folly of the Cross. It talks about the idea how we as Christians see the cross and how the world sees it who's not a Christian. And it gives you an idea, that paradox, how we see the cross and the world sees. And St. John Chrysostom talks about many beautiful things. I think if you look it up, just say the folly of the cross, it should pop up. So finally, in order to experience the power of the cross in our personal life, we have to, when we do the sign of the cross, not just do it mechanically and do it with no meaning or purpose, just like this, no meaning to it. We must do the sign of the cross in full faith and trust that this is the power of God, like St. Paul said. It's the power of God. Pope Shenouda used to say, the power of the cross comes from the faith in the power of the cross. That's why by the cross, some people are able to cast out demons, and by the cross, some people do absolutely nothing. because those who cast out demons, they have full faith in that power of the cross. And also Pope Schulte said, if you doing the sign of the cross and you don't feel it, how will the demons feel it if you don't feel the power of the cross yourself? So we must do the power of the cross in complete faith, trusting that this is the power of God over the kingdom of Satan. May God grant us to experience the power of the cross in our lives and overcome all the snares of Satan. And glory be to God forever and ever.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.